Good morning. It is so good to be back at Harvard and to see familiar faces here and there scattered about, and it's good to see new faces as well. I bring you greetings from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, or as some of us like to call it, Nash Vegas. And I am sad to report it's as cold there as it is here. And I was hoping for a warm-up, but that's not likely to happen today. I want to thank the staff of Memorial Church, my dear friend and colleague, the Reverend Doctor. And I want to also thank you all for being here this morning. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our strength and our Redeemer, our rock of salvation. And those gathered who could said, Amen. The people of Zion were not deceived. They still remembered. They remembered Zion, the source of their being, the place of their wholeness and renewal. They remembered home and centeredness and freedom. And because they could remember, they sat down as mourners. They had no heart for music or song. The harps hung silent on the willow trees. The songs of Zion, with their emphasis on the might and majesty of God, had fallen silent. God's song, they knew, belonged to the ritual of a temple that was no more. For the exiles, there were no songs of Zion, but there were songs of God. There were songs of the Creator who alone calls worlds into being and sets before us the ways of life and death. So it was out of this recognition that the exiles cried, "How shall we sing God's song in an alien land?" Well, how do we sing Zion's songs in our alien lands? As people of faith, we wrestle with this question as we attempt to be faithful witnesses in the midst of the issues of our day, the issues that often make us feel and live as though we are in a strange land, a land that is hostile and forbidding, a land that is deadly, a land in which the prejudices of a few can become the law of the land, a land in which the dignity of all persons has conditions put on it so that some of us need not apply for justice or mercy. How is it that in this strange land we are called to sing God's song in the midst of the world's evils and hatreds and prejudices and violence? Can we sing this song by becoming disillusioned and cynical? Can we sing this song by engaging in ritualistic dances? Can we sing this song by escaping into a simple time and place, by seeking easy answers? What can keep us anchored and focused, like the voice of the psalmist who cries out through the centuries, "If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy." Well, my mother was a woman of plain talk. Oh, she could be erudite if the situation called for it, But she preferred her meat well done, her coffee strong, and her talk straightforward. And one of the things that Mary Towns taught her daughters before she left for the other side of the Jordan is that you have to know where you want to be. You have to live your life standing on the promises. You must live in a radical hope that never accepts someone else's definition of wholeness, particularly if they're the only ones benefiting from it. You see, Mary Towns had been with the Lord, and she believed that you live your story. You sang your song, remained steadfast in your faith, and preach your witness. And God will take care of the rest if we just get out of God's way and let God go on sanctifying and redeeming life. Mama believed in hope. She taught us well that our lives may be the only chapter of Scripture somebody reads, and the miracle of God working in us is that God takes our brokenness, the threads of our lives, and weaves masterpieces. The hope Mama taught us about is powerful. It enables us to press onward when we feel like giving up. It enables us to draw strength from the future, to live in a sometimes discouraging present. It makes it possible for us to see the world not only as it is, but as it can be. Mama's hope can move us to a new place and turn us into a new person. She taught us that we look at struggle as a sign of discord and turmoil, rather than realize that our faith demands from us seasons of struggle and moments of glory. Hope gives us the ability to recognize that no event in our lives, whatever its character, can imprison us. Mama taught us to refuse to scale down our aspirations to the level of the facts of our present situation, because God is always calling us to move beyond the present, to shape and mold a better tomorrow. Oh yes, Mama had been with the Lord, and she knew well what the banks of Babylon were like, and she'd even laid down her harp a time or two. But she always picked it back up, because she was a woman who knew where she wanted to be. And she chose to be in the hands of our living God. We can sing God's song through a meaningful faith when we remember who we are. And we are God's people. We are not authorized, anointed, and given our authority by politicians, prosperity preachers, publicity campaigns promising a new you, a life mate, better insurance rates, easy buttons, or brighter teeth. We are redeemed and named worthy by God. We can sing God's song and be a true light in the world because we remember that we are God's people, and we are then freed from the miasma of hopelessness. We are liberated from the ignorance, bitterness, and mean-spiritedness of those who would call us evil and less than. God is the one who offered us and breathed into us the breath of life. God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is the maker of the bread of heaven. God is the source of the light of the world. God is the teacher of the good shepherd. God is the grower of the true vine. It is God, not events, not people, who give us the song that we can sing and provides the oil for our lamps about how our souls look back. How precious is the Lord, how sweet is the Spirit, how great is the foundation. We can sing God's song, and from a pathway of an eloquent faith, if we know what we stand for, We can sing God's song if we understand that the demand of the gospel is that we struggle with God for justice. The radical demand of the gospel is that we take up the cross and follow Jesus, because there is no victory without struggle. And we need to keep in mind the only place success comes before work is the dictionary. To sing God's song requires no less than a strong commitment against the prejudices and bigotry of our words and actions. Them is us sometimes. And we must be cautious about treating any institution as final, defining any idea as infallible, or accepting any system that is closed. God comes in the unexpected and the unplanned. God comes in the surprising as well as that which we know so well. And God cannot be controlled by us, even when we think so, and few of us have a corner on the market of righteousness. We can sing God's song with a stocky faith if we remember God's song was created not only for Zion, but for Babylon as well. We can rise up from the banks of despair and pain and sing about amazing grace. We can rise up from the waters of injustice and inhumanity and shout about a God who is better than butter. We can rise up from torment and taunting and tell people about a God who just does it. We can rise up and take up our harps, our drums, our guitars, our pianos and organs, and tell the nation about our God who cares enough to send God's very best and keeps going and going and going. Our God, who out-Grecians the formula, out-Clairols the lady, out-bakes the shake, out-cuisines the lean, out-cats the kit, out-kings the burger, and colas the cola. Our God. Sing songs of Zion, my brothers and sisters. Songs that lift the spirit. Songs that demand a commitment. Songs that offer hope, songs that are wrapped in love. We must let folks know what it is like to sing the songs of Zion without hesitation or faltering. Oh, we may sing them in fear sometimes, and we may sing them off key sometimes, but we sing them. It's time to dry the tears of despair that we shed by our own waters of Babylon. It's time to stand up as a righteous people, pick up our harps and sing. Sing even when the times of life are failing. Sing in the midst of joy and laughter. Sing when you feel like running. Sing even if you're not sure you can keep standing up. Sing even when the candle has almost gone out. Sing when you're wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up. Sing using your heart and soul. Sing using your mind and intellect. Sing using your witness, your hope, your love, your faith. Sing holding on to the watchlight. Sing making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sing telling folks about that sweet inspiration. Sing no matter how young you are. Sing no matter how old you are. Sing standing our ground. Sing working for justice and equity for all God's children. Sing when folks tell you you have no gift for singing. Sing, even when someone has taken away the sheet music. Sing, because you've got a song inside of you, and you just have to let it go. Sing.